Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Matadoras. Today we are talking about, well, first of all, today it is Lizzie and I, as usual. Sorry, Lizzie.
Hello.
And we today want to talk about those of you that are out there trying to support somebody who is in a toxic relationship or who's with a narcissist or somebody with, you know, mental health issues, and you are the friend, the mom, the cousin, the aunt, the uncle, fill in the blank, and you just don't really know how to help them. And so, you know, we really feel it's important to get through this situation by having tremendous supporters. Lizzie and I would not have made it through our toxic relationships if it weren't for the people that kind of pulled us out of the pit, shone a light on everything we were going through to help us see the truth, because it is so confusing when you're in it. And truth and fiction can kind of blur into a gray area to where you have just no idea what's true and what's not. So that support role is incredibly valuable. And so we want to kind of shed light on that. So I'm going to let Lizzie start, because she's got some super ideas on how to be a great supporter and what kind of things really will help your friend or your family or relative.
Awesome. Thank you, Dina. Yeah. So some of these seem really basic, but we don't even think about them as being, you know, kind of some steps that you can do to be that great support system. And the first one we would like to recommend is listening to the victim without judgment. It's so easy to go, well, just leave, or I don't believe that, or, you know, just kind of have that judgmental, critical spirit. But that's not beneficial to the victim, and most likely they'll end up retreating if you show that type of behavior. Another one would be believe what they say. We know that sometimes, because you don't see that behavior in the perpetrator, I'm just going to say perpetrator, that it's hard to imagine that they are verbally abusive behind closed doors. And that has been a problem probably that's been going on for centuries. If you don't see it, it's just hard to believe it. But most of the time, it's truth. And that you're taking the time to listen without judgment, believe their side of the story, gives them some peace and calm. It doesn't solve the problem, but it's a good first step. Another thing, respect their choices. It's not always easy when you know the best thing for them is to leave the relationship. It can make you more frustrated. It could, you know, cause you a lot of problems emotionally, because you're like, just leave, just leave. But you have to be patient, because as we've talked in our other podcast, leaving these situations and these types of relationships, it's like you're untangling from the web of just so many emotions and so many mixed up feelings. And like we've talked about before, the victim doesn't feel it all the time. They have some good days in there. And those good days really make them forget sometimes that those bad days are there, or they'll come back. So be respectful of their choices. Unless you know that a child is being hurt, then of course you need to do your due diligence and call Child Protective Services. Another one would be offer practical advice. You know, maybe look up some ideas of hotlines, support groups, legal advice. Not that they're going to use it right away, but having that list handy and ready in case they need it, and shelters as well, is a really good step to kind of get things ready. Packing a bag emotionally is what you're doing. Another thing would be, we've talked about this with Melissa when we had the podcast chat with a therapist, but one of it is have a safe word. A word that if for some reason she's on the phone with you or he's on the phone with you and they say that word, then you know it's gotten really bad. And, you know, then have your safety plan. And Dina and I, we did the podcast having an exit plan, which is a really good one if for you to listen to if you haven't listened to it yet. We have a reason why you would want to have a good exit plan. So just arm yourself, which also leads into being educated. a lot of times it's hard as a support person to listen to all the abuse, you know, learning about abuse or the different types of abuse, or you think it doesn't pertain to me. But as a supporter, you need to understand what the victims are going through, because a lot of it is very similar for each person. There's really like pain points are very similar, confusion, brain fog, things like that, the gaslighting they live with. It's really important to kind of understand where they are coming from on a regular basis. Another thing to do is to remind them and encourage them to have some self-care. A lot of times a victim will not take care of themselves because they're so low emotionally. And if you are able to even maybe watch their kids for just an hour or so and say, hey, why don't you just go do something for yourself? Hour or two, you know, try to find out things that they enjoy doing and encouraging them to go do those things to take care of themselves. Another thing would be patient. It's so easy to get frustrated when you're in these situations and you're seeing, you know, this, you know, going on over and over. And as we've shared before, a victim may leave their abuser 7 times before they're finally done. So it takes a lot. But also for you, your boundaries are critical, because this can take a toll on anyone involved. And if it means you might need counseling, or you need to like set things up in a way that's safe for you, take those steps and make sure that you have your boundaries and your own self-care in place. Is there anything else you could think of, Dina?
Well, yes. And basically everything you're saying, Lizzie, is exactly what we need. But I just want to say really quickly, when I was in my relationship with Rex for 26 years, what I really needed and what really helped me was having people that, like Lizzie alluded to, listen to me. I just needed somebody. I needed a safe space. You know, I was married to a sex addict, right? Lizzie was married to the same guy. I needed somebody that would listen and not have judgment. You know, I remember telling a couple of friends that he was a sex addict, and you know what? One of them stopped being my friend. And, you know, another one just kind of looked at me different, like I was gross, or like I was, you know, allowing a complete pervert to be in my home, you know, which in a way they were right, but they didn't understand the whole dynamic of what we were going through and how I really thought that he was going to beat this and he was going to be the man that I thought he could be. And so I needed people to love me and to give me a safe space to vent and talk about this. But I also needed those people to be really honest, to really, really say what was on their mind in a loving way. I remember some of the tough love conversations were extremely valuable for me. About year 23 of the 26, one of my friends told me, she said, Dina, at this point, if you continue to stay in this relationship, you are the one with the bigger problem, not him. And you know, I needed to hear that. I needed to hear that this back and forth constant cycle, you know, of all the abusive things that were going on and me going back was not okay. And it was not normal, you know? And I also need to hear that the things he was doing was not okay and was not normal. You know, this, just because a lot of men get into porn and a lot of men, you know, get into sexual things, it doesn't mean that what I was dealing with was normal and it was okay. And that he was going to just pop right out of it when he decided to. I needed the truth. And lastly, I really needed somebody that understood abuse. And I think those are the people that helped me the most, is people who'd already been in their own toxic relationships, maybe not exactly like mine, but they'd been in toxic relationships and they picked up on the gaslighting. They picked up on the manipulative little comments and, you know, him trying to get me back by sobbing and pleading and crying and, commit, you know, threatening to commit suicide and begging me back. I thought that meant he loved me so much. I thought he wanted to commit suicide and die because he was so in love with me, he couldn't bear losing me, and that I was the only solution for him to get better. That's what I thought. Well, you know, I had some very good, wise, mainly my mom and even my stepdad, you know, were like, listen, you know, these are not true things. You know, there's a lot of manipulation happening here. This is not healthy. This is not love. I needed to hear that so desperately. I just had no idea what I was looking at half the time. So those are some things personally that I felt like I needed from my support team and what really helped me to finally get healthier. And, you know, sometimes they would say, yeah, you know, you shouldn't stay in this. You should probably leave. And I wouldn't. And other times I would. So, you know, if that person, like Lizzie alluded to, if that person doesn't heed your advice, I know it's easy just to roll your eyes and think, oh my gosh, but it takes time. I remember, Lizzie, we talked about it takes an abused person, what, seven times. To leave a relationship before they actually leave. It's like layers of deceit and deception and manipulation have to come off. Mm-hmm. And also the fears that keep you there, the terror of facing life alone, the absolute terror of what if he gets better and I left and I threw everything away that we built, you know, all of that.
Yeah,
there's so many different facets to get through before you have the courage to actually go.
And then so, you and I have discussed in the past too, is these victims are so isolated as well. So their support system gets smaller and smaller and smaller. And that makes them feel more alone, more, you know, vulnerable, so to speak, as they're processing through this. So if you're walking beside someone and you know it's getting close to the point that they're going to move out of this situation, they probably went through a lot of, you know, isolation and, you know, friends going, whatever, you know, or like, you're dumb to stay kind of thing. And, you know, that's not helpful at all. So they'll end up just making their world smaller by the day, so to speak.
Well, yeah. And, you know, that's what, especially a narcissist, you know, and any kind of abuser, that's what they do. They isolate your world. Either they just move all the time, or, you know, they try to get you to work from home or not work at all. You know, I have two people in my life, you know, that are family that, you know, their exes just had them stay home and homeschool the kids, you know, and that was best for the family and best for the kids. And anytime they want to go to college or work, it was met with a lot of complete resistance, you know, and it was because it was best for the family and best for the children. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of isolation that happens, and it's on purpose. And that's something that also brings people's support system down small. So it's so important that you create that support system, that you push out of your little cozy, you know, comfort place, and you find a support team. You need it desperately. And if you have to do it on the sly, do it on the sly, whatever you need. But you need desperately to have somebody on the outside that can clear that fog for you and give you great advice. But again, you know, choose people that do give good advice and understand what you're going through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most definitely. And, you know, for that person, that support, we've said it before, your support is like a gold to a victim. Mm-hmm. And if you can follow those things, you know, as far as being patient, you know, and learning to just help set yourself up to be educated, to have those boundaries, I think that you're going to find that you will be an incredible, I don't want to say a person that someone can lean into, but there are seasons I think any of us have, we need someone to lean into, not just in abusive situations, just because sometimes things in life, right? Now, there was another thing, Dina, you and I talked about, which I am really fascinated about, and that was spiritual bypassing.
Yes. Oh my goodness. This is amazing. I have never heard of spiritual bypassing. If anybody out there listening to this has heard of spiritual bypassing, please send us a comment and just let us know, because I was just dumbfounded when Lizzie found this. So it's great. This was a post on Facebook by Dr. Allison Cook. And she calls this spiritual bypassing. And what it is applying a spiritual solution to a problem instead of facing the complex emotions behind it. So spiritual bypassing oversimplifies complex problems by assigning a spiritual cause. It encourages you to skip over a necessary emotional healing process. And here's some examples. And I swear, how many times have we had this used on us? So many times.
I've said it. Yeah, I was about to say. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So here would be the comment. Okay, that would be a good spiritual support for a friend going through something. I get that you're angry. You're angry completely makes sense. The spiritual bypassing comment would be, your love can cure them. It can cure anything. Here's another one. I am so sorry that you're hurting. I wish you did not have to go through this. Here's spiritual bypassing. God would not give you more than you can handle. How many times have we heard that?
Yeah.
And you know what? You are going to feel like it's more than you can handle. And it's just not helpful to hear that. Here's another one. It's brave to step into uncertainty. I am praying with you. Here's the bypass. God always gives you a clear sign. Can we just be honest? God doesn't always give us a clear sign.
Not at all.
I wish that was the case, but that is not the case in my life most of the time. I have sometimes had an amazing experience that blew my mind, where I had a crazy sign that literally had to be a God thing. There's no way it could be anything else. Most of the time, I'm just kind of taking a step and there's something underneath my feet. It's terrifying. Here's another one. The spiritual support comment would be, it is so scary. I get it. I'm with you. The bypass would be, faith removes all fear. No, it doesn't. Even if you have a strong faith, it doesn't remove fear.
Nope.
You're just supposed to do it afraid, really, is what you do. That's the courage. Do you think someone in battle that's facing a huge army and they're outnumbered is sitting there like completely courageous and not afraid? Absolutely not. They're probably terrified. They know terrible things might happen to them and their friends. What do? They do it afraid. And then the last one, here's the spiritual support. I see how hard you've been working. You are bearing such beautiful fruit. Here's the bypass. You need to let go and let God. Do we even know how to do that?
No.
I mean, no. There's a place for that. I think there mm-hmm. is a place to just, you know, I think the modern version of that is, it is what it is. That's the kind of just let it go. You can't control mm-hmm. it. There's nothing you can do. Let it go. But that is also not very helpful. You know, most of the time when someone is pouring their heart out and really grieving or really afraid or really frustrated, mm-hmm. you know, just let it go. Well, if this is a recurring abusive situation, you cannot let it go. It will keep coming back to haunt you over and over and over. And there might be some time in between each bout of abuse, but it will happen again, guaranteed, if you're with an abuser.
Well, not to interject, but mm-hmm. spiritual bypassing, when we bypass that, or someone tells us to bypass it, pretty much what we're doing is we're not also going to heal properly. We're not going to put our emotions in a proper area as we're trying to grieve through and process, you know, just all of that. It's like we're denying it. Now, another thing, I know it's not maybe a spiritual bypass, but it's one I hear a lot that I struggle with, and I might be the only one on the planet that struggles with it, and that is hurt people hurt people. Mm-hmm. I really struggle with that comment. I know hurt people, but I struggle with people saying it because it's putting it as a blasé kind of, well, you know, they're hurting, so they're going to hurt you back.
Well, but it makes it sound like you're supposed to almost feel sorry for them. You're supposed to roll out the red carpet of understanding, which I did for years. It was years that I stayed because I thought, this person is sobbing hysterically about what he's done. He is so broken. Clearly, he came from not a great family. clearly he's a victim, you know, all the things. Like, that victim mode was his escape for decades, you know, because the hurt people thing, because I needed to support him. I needed to help him get past this. It was a we problem now.
Mm-hmm.
Until I started realizing the more he lied and hid it from me, you know, and kept doing this over and over again and kept living this whole double life, it was not a we problem. I was not let in to that side of the problem. I was completely shut out and I was the victim. But I had that whole thing reversed in my head. So yes, I love that one, Lizzie. Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah, it's we don't realize the power of trying to say things in a faith-based way could actually cause more harm than good, which is really hard, I think, for people of faith to understand. I think giving them, like Dina gave some examples of some really good words to say that are support, but I really think that we need to really pray before we open our mouth sometimes, especially for victims in abuse, and not just abuse, but, you know, I think that we're denying them the place to open up and say, you know what, I can see why you're feeling that way. And we're denying it to the point that they're going to feel like they're living like Wizard of Oz, you know, in another world, so to speak. And they're the ones that are having the problem. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And also look at what these spiritual supports have in common. You know, you're brave. I'm with you. I see how hard you're working. You're bearing such beautiful fruit. Your anger makes sense. You know what this person is doing on the spiritual support side? Building that person up. I can't emphasize this enough. When somebody is in a toxic relationship, they are so beaten down and their self-esteem is probably pulp, not poop, probably poop too, but definitely ground to pulp for sure. They need to be built up. They need that. I remember, and I still remember this, and I swear it was probably, it had to be 35 years ago this happened. But I remember going to like a family camp with the kids, and I met this woman who was just so dynamic and she just was so loving and kind. And, you know, I was in a place, safe space with some ladies that I was sharing my story and I was still in the relationship. And she looked at me and said, "It is so obvious to me that you have such value. How could anybody want to do that to somebody and lose that value that you give?" And that, from a stranger, meant the world to me. I did not feel like I had any value. And I didn't even know I felt that way. But, you know, you just take things for so long and you take subliminal messages that are sent to you. And when you're with a sex addict, the subliminal message is that every woman is more desirable than you and they have something you don't. And then when they're just mean or hateful, well, then you always feel like you did something wrong. You just don't feel that you have value when you're treated in a way that you don't. And so I think the very best and most beautiful way to uplift somebody is to give them value. Definitely give them the truth, though. Tough love. But I think I would start off by thanking them for sharing this with you and then really pointing out their value. And building them up to a point where when you decide to give them some tough love, they already know that you think they're amazing and that you're in their corner, but you're doing it because you love them. And even if they do get upset, you know, people with low self-esteem do tend to get, they tend to be more cringy about things like that because they just can't handle any more, you know, verbal abuse or anything negative comes across that way. And, you know, so they may not like it, but it's so important if they know that you love them, that you tell them the truth anyway, because they need it. And hopefully they're the kind of person that'll come back and say, "Listen, I'm sorry for reacting that way. I needed to hear that." But
well, and I think people with that are giving tough love, what they're doing is kind of like giving an example of what they saw like the manipulation, the exact words that were used, and also to encourage the victim to journal if they can. I know a lot of times we've talked about before, it's hard to do anything privately, but if they have an opportunity to journal anything, I think that is a good step for them to, like, they heard these words, and then when they have a good frame of mind, hopefully they will look back going, yeah, this is pretty toxic. This is abuse, you know, because I think when people go through emotional abuse, not the physical, and we've talked about this before, they don't feel like they're getting abused, but they are. And it's not until they really get out of that relationship, they realize the level and the depth of the abuse they lived with, when they're able to live the life that they want to live and they feel they need to live. Yeah. Good stuff. Thank you, Dina.
Yep. Well said.
Yeah. So,
okay.
Yeah. Anything
this
else?
This will be a shorty, but goodie, huh?
Yeah, exactly. I think the last few, we would like to add more, but each topic seems to be kind of needing its own little space. So sometimes some will be shorter.
That's okay. It's good. Some of you might have a real short commute and you just need a little short little, you know, boost for the day. And here you go. Here's your shorty.
There you go. Well, thank you for taking the time to listen. We appreciate you. And reach out if you have any other questions. And look for us, the Matadoras, on all the major platforms. And if you want to contact us, you can reach out to our website, thematadoras.com. And there's a way to contact us through there. So anyway, we would love to hear from you. And we hope that each and every one of you has a wonderful day. Thank you.
Thank you.